Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday set, where we have reached Champions Day. The best horses in Australia converge on Flemington on RHQ, and it's going to be brilliant. King Zone, isn't it?
One of the best days racing I have ever seen.
It's amazing. Those three Champions races, the Sprint, Mile and Stakes. Wow. We've got a lot to talk about when we move into them.
Yep. No, absolutely. So we've had Sydney and Melbourne clashing a bit, and it seems like everything's come down to Melbourne for the final day, which is very, very pleasing to see. When I hadn't had a really good look until this morning because I've been busy with a lot of other stuff, and it was just one race after another. So, no, I can't wait.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant. Fizz, how are you coping, mate? It is a big campaign at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a long week, a long couple of weeks, but I'm here and it's comfortable being in this studio in comparison to the last studio I was in, feeling a little bit better about it in here.
And you were right, the Melbourne Cup never does fail to disappoint, does it?
Correct. So obviously my first line in that was pretty funny because I got it wrong. I wasn't trying to say what came out, but it ends up being like that because every time.
It disappoints a lot of people this year.
Yeah, it disappoints a little bit on the punt for me most years, the Melbourne Cup. It doesn't disappoint me in the build up. I get very excited, but when it's really hard to back a winner in the Melbourne Cup. And this year was no exception.
300-1 they bet at the call of the card.
They did. There was money for it too. I think it was back to win 200,000, maybe to win 30,000.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, but I think it was just one punter. I think only two people had a bet.
Yeah, it wasn't really back. Someone had 1,000 each way, but there was money for every horse. So the bookies there would have been holding, I'm not sure, might have held over $1 million on a lot of those races. On the cup.
Ladbrokes got completely stripped on it. They had that first four, I think, that someone got.
Yeah, $100 won $3.2 million, and they did $2.2 on the race. But it just, I mean, everyone says you couldn't have backed it. And off form, you couldn't have backed it. But I've talked a lot about changing methods and the way you could have backed that horse. And the only way you could have backed that horse is if you price races and you're really stringent to your prices. So you might have priced it 80-1 or 100-1 and you're getting 300-1. Well, it's an overlay, so you're on it. Do you think it's going to win? No, but if it wins one in every 100 times and you're on it 300-1, then it's value. And I think it's never been more important to sort of put prices in, and that's something I'm working really hard on, to be putting pricing into my form just with the way the results are at the moment. It's a really funny time, and it has been for a while now, so I don't think it's coincidence that a lot of drifters are sort of winning and also a lot of longer priced horses. So you might price something sort of $10 and it's $8 out to 20s and you think it's got no hope off betting. But if your pricing is correct, you can have something on those horses and making that type of horse a better result than the horse that's truck loaded, like a Powers of Opal that was $3 into $1.80 and gets beaten by the second pick, who's $3.50 out to $5.50.
And they're racing today again, aren't they?
They are in the Oaks, yeah. Should be a great race.
Go to air just after it's probably raced. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that. But let's get into it. Let's talk about Saturday. We're going to look at four feature races from Flemington, and we will start with the Matriarch Stakes, the 2,000-metre race for the mares. This will just warm us up into the big races. What did you make of this one?
Well, I laugh every time I see this favourite hinge because every time it runs, the bird rings me and goes, how's this thing favourite? I'm going to lay it on Betfair. So I did, the Waller factor. And you've also obviously got J-Mac on Saturday, and Ladbrokes, I think, are leading the way there at $3.80. So Ladbrokes are obviously keen to lay as well, but Hinge hasn't won for 2.5 years, won 6 races from 39 starts, won 1 from 27 at group level, 0 from 2 at Flemington and 0 from 3 at the distance. So 380, if you're looking at those stats, seems pretty short. I thought this was a tough race. I found a couple at double figure odds. I found Kind Words, which Ladbrokes have got at $16. Chris Lees has obviously got an opinion of this horse, brought it down from Newcastle. Good win at Kembla last start, so I thought $16 was an overlay. And another one who's completely out of form, Cirileo Miss, who's $34, but there's
not... Off the screen, yep.
Off the screen, because it's completely out of form, but Declan Bates from Pride of Jenny fame, straight to the lead on this, I think, from drawn out off the track. I'd go straight to the lead, and you never know... Cirileo might just keep going at big odds, so I think you'll get 40 or 50 to 1. But those are just two overlays who I'm going to have a small bet
nibble.
On. A nibble. I see Firestorm's in, Fitz.
Your horse, yeah, let us down in the Cox Plate day.
It did let us down in the last race, but I'm not sure Mooney Valley was to its liking. You'd have to forgive that run. And Flemington, I think, will be a big plus for this horse. Top pick for me, Hinge. Always comes up on the ratings. It always seems to be thereabouts. But like King said, it couldn't possibly back it. At that price in a race like this, just the odds, just not worth it, I don't think, for me. It's not a betting race for me. Firestorm, top pick. Lady Jones won well at the Valley. Live Ore, big odds, and Quick Start goes all right. Goes up to 2,000 for the first time, and he's on the improve. So, look, nothing for me in this race. It looks like a tough race, and the betting suggests that that's the case.
Very good. Let's get into the champions races. We will start with the champions sprint. So what do we got here? Well, we've got Giga Kick going into this race, and he went into this race undefeated in 2022 after he won the Everest. That's when he got injured, and he was off the circuit for a year or whatever it was, but he's in this race and nearly favourite, got the AI screen. Of course, Bella Nipotina, she's the interesting one. She's never won up the straight. And another little thing I was thinking as well with Bella Nipotina is that her and Via Sestina are kind of dueling for the star of the spring.
Yep.
And it probably comes down to tomorrow. If both of them win, it's pretty hard to separate them. And if one of them win, it probably anoints them to the star of the spring. It also goes a long way to getting them in the front running for the horse of the year next year. What did you make of the race? We've got AI as usual.
How good are the girls? We had Winx and Black Caviar. Now we've got Bella, Via, and obviously just, Pride and Jenny better, as well. They really go to a good... And another level.
And do you think, because the argument might be that a lot of the really good colts go to stud, but I don't really feel like...
The girls get better as they get older. They certainly don't deteriorate. I mean, look at Pride of Jenny and also Bella Nipotina. So as you can see on the AI screen, 118 top bullet rater. So for me, this race is all about Bella Nipotina. If she can go down the straight, the negative with her is she's zero from 10 at Flemington. The positives, which I think outweigh the negatives, are the Everest win where she sat three wide on pace and, you know, an enormous, enormous win, and then came out and franked it in the Russell boarding where they went 100 miles an hour in front. She sat third and then just peeled out and just and won easily and sort of won going away. That was actually her highest rating ever.
Was it?
So she's never been in better form. 7 day backup. I think barrier 12 will suit as well. Down the outside. There's a bit of cover here or a bit of pace as well to sort of sit behind with Overpass and Estriella in the race. So she's just a warhorse. She just keeps getting better. I think the price, $390. I think a lot of people will be against it because she is down the straight, but I'm going to wait on the price. I think you will get $420, $440 about Bella Nipotina. But the old girl is my first official Saturday set tip for Champions Day.
Brilliant. Fizz, what did you make of it, mate? We'll throw the whole market up there as you talk about it.
Yeah, King's talked about Bella. I did say big question marks over the straight track and the Flemington course. But I will say that Bella's going better this time, I reckon, than ever. So it's very hard to put any crosses against Bella's name. So I'm not going to pot Bella at all, but I'm also not going to back her. I thought Overpass might be the one to beat going along in front. I thought it might be the horse to beat. Giga Kick going well. Barrakeel, Airborne, Lady Laguna, all these horses, Estrella, Bellatrix Star, Airborne.
It's incredible.
Great race.
Field, isn't
it's an unbelievable race. I didn't even mention Sunshine in Paris. It probably gets its chance this time down the straight.
J-Mac on board, first time Sunshine in
Paris.
Yeah,
that's a good gear change for anyone. But, yeah, look, I'm not going to have a bet. Overpass is my top pick.
Okay, let's move to what I'm calling the race of the carnival. The Champions Mile, wow. Just look at those horses.
Yeah, well, this is a race when I looked at it. I thought, how good is this? This is a race I've really been waiting for. As a racing fan, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Obviously, Pride of Jenny, 550. Pride of Jenny, my thoughts for this race are I'm going to back. It's an incredibly tough race, but you've got to go with a certain form line, and I'm going with the Antino and another Will form line. I just think those two horses are the horses sort of on the way up.
Really?
Compared to Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny, who may have had their grand finals. Pride of Jenny you saw come off in the Cox Plate, but back to 1600. I'm certainly not saying they can't win. They're fantastic horses, but you've got to go one way or the other. And I'm going, we saw another Will come out on Saturday and really, you know, frank that form where another Will fail, but then came out and won. And what about what Antino did? Just absolutely smashed the clock at Caulfield. So it's just a really interesting race. And we haven't even talked about Fangirl and also Broadsiding and Amelia's Jewel and Steffi Magnetica. So this is the race of the carnival for me. And this is a race sort of I've been waiting where different form lines come together and you sort of you take a – you know, you go one way or another, and that's the way I've gone, but I certainly wouldn't be bagging anyone who wanted to go a different way.
Would you be bagging Tony Otterbrey for taking Declan off and putting Ben Mellum on? Seems a strange 100%
I would be.
A lot of people are a bit confused.
Oh, mate, I'd be sticking with Declan. He's done the job. He's been a,
I mean, what's he blaming him for? Like, what's his reasoning for pulling him off?
Seems
I'd like to know.
Yeah.
No one knows the horse. I'm obviously not a jockey, but I think listening to jockeys and listening to Bossy talk at the call of the card on the weekend, horses have a feel that, they have a relationship, the horse and the jockeys. You saw with Huey and Winks and Luke Nolan and Black Caviar, and I think Declan Bates, I think it's a negative putting anyone on.
Yeah,
he knows how to rate her in front, and she's had some great, great results. Look at that Queen Elizabeth where they ran slow time and he got the job done. Like, he's won plenty of races on her. I'd take him off.
Funny decision. Anyway, it is what it is. Ben Mellum will make the most of it. I saw Declan Bates handle it very well. Wished everyone the best of luck and rolls on. So
good on him.
What did you make of the race?
Well, Jenny gets it a bit softer here. So talking about Declan Bates, there was nothing much he could do in that Cox Plate. They went a million miles per hour in front and the horses decided to kick up inside him. So Jenny did get it hard that day at Moonee Valley, I'll say. She couldn't even get across prior to the winning post the first time. We were out there and watching and she wasn't even in front, I don't think, in the back, like in the first straight section they went down. So, look, you can forgive her there a little bit, but I think she might be over the top here prior to Jenny. I couldn't be on it. Antino went up 8 ratings points from its last win. So that's quite amazing. It's hard to see whether or not those horses can back that up next time in. We've talked about those peak ratings and then coming back to another race. Look, it's the best race I've seen in a very long time, like King said. Mr. Brightside, fourth in the Cox Plate, was good. My Oberon looks a bit overs for me at 20-1. Big race against Sea Wolf, which is probably the class, another horse that's going to get a big rap throughout this. This time, Broadsiding was good in the Cox Plate and Fangirl. You can't forget Fangirl, one of King's little favourites. Yeah. Great race, unbelievable. I might have a little tickle here and there on the weekend, but I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do yet, so I'll have to look into the race more.
So we're thinking by that jockey change that Ben Mellum's not going to go as hard on Prodigy?
Yeah, what, that's it. Like, what does he do? Like, do they change riding tactics? Like,
I'm thinking that she's not going to go out as hard as what she normally would.
But she has to. She's like, is she ever going to win it?
This race sets up better for her. Like, I don't know if there's going to be people taking her on like they were in the Cox Plate so much. But maybe everyone's Jerry to it. You know, maybe everyone's just said, you know what, we are going to go forward. Our horse goes forward. You know, like so maybe they just keep her in sight. You know, 2 or 3 lengths in front. Compared to when she goes 12 lengths in front or whatever.
Well, the only time she got too far out in front was in the Fian this spring, and that's when she won.
Yeah, I don't. I think she's run her best races when she has gone extremely hard in front and not been challenged. Obviously, you can't control what the other horses are going to do. Yeah. Like they killed themselves, the other horses as well. So, interesting.
Let's move to the Champion Stakes, 2,000 metres, and we see the Cox Plate Heroine via Sestina, the dominant favourite. I think all the chatter around this race is, how much will Via Sestina regress from her Cox Plate performance? I was listening to Dano on the radio earlier in the week and he said that she has 9 lengths up her sleeve on this field to regress based on a Cox Plate run. So she's got plenty up her sleeve. But it doesn't take much. One of these peaked by 3 or 4 lengths and she comes back 4 or 5 lengths. It gets interesting. So
yeah, no, exactly. So she can regress 8.9 lengths and
amazing,
still win.
Amazing, isn't it?
What I like about this race for Via Sestina is the map. So you've got the Caulfield Cup winner, the Duke, going forward with Elias and Denied Knowledge. So there's plenty of pace in this race as well to sort of push forward. Then you've got a bit of a gap and Via Sestina just slots in nicely there, 4th, 5th, 6th, just behind the pace as she did in the Cox Plate. And we saw when the pace, you know, that Cox Plate was obviously run and set and made to suit sort of her getting a nice suck behind the speed into the race. This is a weaker race. Obviously, we don't know how fast she'll regress. She has to regress. She can't, you know, she keeps going forward. It's amazing. But as you said, you got 9 lengths up your sleeve. Ladbrokes leading the way there at $1.75. I'm surprised she's such a good price. I thought she was about $1.45 chance, just going by not only the Cox Plate win, but what she's done previous to that and what the horses behind her, like a Buckaroo and Duke de Cesar as well, have done after the race. So she's my girl and she's my official Saturday set tip.
Second one of them.
Number two.
All right, lock it in. Very good. Let's move to you, Fizz.
You like Kings. I thought the price was fair. Via, I was surprised it wasn't shorter in the market. Maybe the bookies just having a fat time at the moment, which doesn't surprise me with some of the results, and they're giving us a chance to get on the shorty. They do often come out and get beat, these things, after it's such a dominant display. But I looked at this, such a weak race compared to what it faced last start. So Via Sestina are a clear top pick for me in this race. A tissue I thought might have been the danger. Was a bit confused about Without a Fight being in the market.
It's a market mover. It's $10 in. It was
$18 in.
Really?
They put up 18 in the tab, but I thought it might be 30 to 1.
Imagine he comes down the outside and wins.
Does anyone know what it's done or why it hasn't raced for a year? I sort of...
It had injuries. A bowed tendon or pretty bad injury.
Has it come and had a jump out?
I watched the jump outs around
fourth. If they're back there, they know what they're doing. So I'd be shocked if it could win.
I'd be absolutely dazzled if it doesn't start 20s on the
weekend. You could argue it's not far off Via Sestina in terms of capability. It's a very, very good horse.
Great horse, but first up against this lot over 2,000.
I'm stunned that it's only $9. I thought it'd be 50 to 1.
I don't know what's going on. But anyway, there's a bit of speed on in this, so it sets up perfectly for Via. I think it's a horse to beat again. And like Kings, I think it's a standout selection in that race.
Very good. As always, AI is free on Saturday on all Victorian meetings, so make sure you make the most of that. And with the feature races out of the way, it is time for you to finish off your official Saturday set. Maybe just quickly rehash what you've already told us.
Well, the first two are two very, very classy fillies, mares. Flemington Race 6, Bella Nipotina, and obviously Via Sestina.
Yep.
Fillies, mares, girls. And I've got two other girls as well.
Who?
Rose Hill, Race 2, number one, Confess Our Dreams. We'll punch straight through to the front. Very handy win last time. There's not that much pace on paper. I love leaders over the 1,100 at Rose Hill. And the other one's over at Morpheville, Race 3, number 3, Spirit of Camelot. 1,100 first up, sat wide. The race didn't suit. 1,400 second up. It looks very, very hard to beat. I also want to take a multi.
Ooh.
This is a Saturday set first. It's a three-leg multi.
Wow. This will get the crowd up and about.
Yeah, it's about $9. Confess Our Dreams, Spirit of Camelot, and the champ Via Sestina. Three-leg multi as well. And if you want to take another one, throwing Bella in, it will come to about $35 or $40.
Juicy.
But I'm very confident there's three winners out of four there. I like the look. Where punters have got to get back on top. The bookies have been... getting too many results with these favourites getting rolled. It generally evens out. I think these favourites look great bets.
Champions Day is our day.
It is our day. It is our day to shine.
Fizz, your Saturday set.
No problem. We go to Doomin for my first bet. Race 5, number 10, a Felix the Scat. This horse is first up for Gollan. I really liked its trial. I reckon it's only won 1 from 15, this horse, but it ran really good races. Over the end of winter carnival, start of winter carnival up in Brisbane. I just think it'll win first up. 1,600 suits and, I'm on it. And then we're going to Brisbane Race 10, number 7, a horse called Hell. It's been airborne this prep, won its last two, and I think it'll make it three. Then we'll go Flemington Race 4, number 9, a horse called Nadal, old Rafa. Won for me last start when I was on it. It wasn't suited first up down Flemington straight when it was wet and also went to the front, which was a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. I think they'll take cover this time. I think it'll be very hard to beat. We go to Morphettville Race 7, number 4, a horse called Xanthon. Gets a perfect run behind a good speed. Back to the 1,000 from the 1,050 suits. I think it'll be very hard to beat. And then we're going to my best bet of the day, Race 8, number 12, a horse called Miss Ludi. Hit the line like a horse wanting further last start. And I think around the $4 mark, we'll get a really good run for our money.
Thank you, Fizz. This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes have you covered with all the best racing features so you can own spring racing. You can support the show by joining Ladbrokes today and using the code GALLOP. If you want the ultimate social betting experience, be sure to check out Ladbrokes Mates Mode, where you can chat, share, and bet with your mates. We've even started our own Wolfden Mates Mode group, and you can join the action by using the join code WOLFDEN24. So check out Mates Mode and download the Ladbrokes app this spring carnival. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Let's plenty move there.
To the A-team set. Here it is. Dano, he's finding form.
Mm-hmm.
Bella last week, he tipped a thing in the pot, so tasty price.
Here
stick
comes.
With Dano, he'll come good. Moving on, who we got next? Dream Team Matt. Another decent priced horse. Smallie 23. That's a.
I've joined Smallie on this one. He steered me into this one. So for UK everyone out there, yeah, UK. Its ratings are good enough to win this. Good tip, Smallie.
Finishing off with Junior Prince Eric.
Oh, the old Junior.
Flemington Race One. Get the cash early,
eh? Yeah. Thank you, A Team. Let's move on to accountability. King's Own, a lot of work to do, mate. You'd be the most disappointed with that.
Oh, I'm terribly disappointed with it. -7% is not good enough at this level.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm confident I can turn things around.
Never been working harder, right?
Nah, here we go.
Yeah. We saw the Fizzer there. Well done, Fizzer. There's the A-team. Patchy, but not too bad overall. And,
hang on a sec.
Dream Patchy. Team's flying now.
Oh, well, yeah, it's -490, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
But if you add them all up, we're showing a profit. So it's one in all in until I hit the lead. Then I'll say how well
then
I'm doing.
It's a singles game. Then we go back to singles.
Punter of the year finished for another month. Quickly throw that up there. There it is.
Well, these are the best judges on the app, the actual punters on Wolf Den. So get on the app. Go and check out the punter of the year with the leaderboards. You can break it down by sports. You can break it down by Hong Kong racing. You can break it down by whatever you want. And there's plenty of information in there now, as in we've been running this for getting close to 6 months now. So the numbers are getting high. So you're really, really sorting them out. But as you can see there, three punters up the top in front of our own Dream Team map, but three punters over 20%.
Unbelievable.
With over 100 bets. And that's not a best of the best or anything. That's just the price tipped on the app at the time. So tremendous effort led by Gordon Ross for the month of October. Well done.
Very good. We'll check back in again in another month. So moving on, slowly wrapping up. There's been a lot going on. We were down in Melbourne for 3 or 4 days over the weekend.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
I'm on the Barocas.
We made our debut in the .com studios. I was cut from the production, which suited me just fine.
Which suited me not as well.
Yeah, and you got terribly nervous.
I did get nervous. That's like the thing
you never
people
get
don't realise. Yeah, but I got used to this. I was nervous when we first but no one really even informed me.
You wouldn't
me.
Have known.
A week before, I was informed about these shenanigans about going into the .com studio. Look, once I got in the swing of it, I was all right, but it was very, very nervous, and I did sort of – I had an answer prepared in my head for what I thought Tim was going to ask me the first question, and he threw a curveball with a different question, and it really stumped me, and then I said my silly line, and that was that.
Yeah. And call the card action, Kings. We went there. Unfortunately, I hate to say, but what often happens is we made a bit of a donation to the Vic bookmakers.
Yeah, well, we finished square last year. Mm. We obviously lost this year, but how could you, as I said, how could you bet being on the winner unless you were betting off prices? But it's a pity one of us didn't find the winner, but that's the way it goes. It was just one of those cups, wasn't it? But action with the call of the card was fantastic. I reckon they bet close to 100%.
Here's Fizzy getting makeup.
You know what? Lucky I had the hat on because she said she would have had to polish the dome for about an hour.
Big thank you to everyone at racing.com as
there
well.
There it is in the big lights.
Yeah. Timmy did a marvellous job. Yeah, no, big thank you. They looked after us well. But just getting back to the call of the card, 100%. The betting was really big. You could back horses to win a couple of million there, yeah. I think, if you wanted to. Tom backed Buckaroo to win a million in one bet. So
here's the call of the card now.
Richo and Britt did a great job as well. So, no, it was
Mr.
a lot
Zara.
Of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
And moving on from that, I was sort of quite engaged and interested last week about what was happening with the protocols, the Racing Victoria veterinary protocols around the Melbourne Cup.
Mm.
And a lot of horses got scratched. It was a pretty big talking point. I put a poll up on Twitter because I wanted to find out what everybody else out there thought. And I was quite surprised by this response. So what do you think is the best way forward for Racing Victoria and the vetting of Melbourne Cup runners? And we're talking, like, obviously our audience on Twitter is a very pro horse racing audience. And I was quite surprised that, you know, the vast majority of people think that it's the right path that we're on at the moment with the protocols and, you know, keep going forward with it. My personal opinion is I just feel like we're trying to appease such a tiny minority out there. I don't really see why, but I'm in the minority. And I think it's sort of, it's going to damage the cup in my opinion, because trainers and owners are not going to set their horses for the cup because they don't have confidence that they're going to run.
Mm.
But look, the people have spoken. That's a pretty solid sample size, nearly 400 people. And they think that, you know, stay the course that we're doing. What do you think about it?
I'm obviously not a vet. I'm obviously not a trainer. So I don't have I know what's going on, but I don't really know what's going on because I'm not on the inside. But what I think is the people that do know what's going on are the trainers.
Mm.
And I think that, every trainer out there is not going to risk their horse by putting him over 3,200 when they're not. They don't think they're 100%. So what I think is I would be involving the trainers a lot more and doing a review and you know, going to speak to a lot of the trainers and getting their feedback about what happened and what they think should happen. I think the most important people to talk to are the people on the ground, and that's the trainers.
Anything to add, Fizz?
No, I don't know enough about it to comment on that one. Sorry about that.
And Kings, what about the New South Wales versus Vic debate? It's a very hard one to know the answer to. We've finally sort of got a date on Saturday where you really do feel like you've got the best horses all in one location. There's still the Five Diamonds and stuff up in Sydney, so there's a bit of a drag, but it really does feel like, you know, everyone focuses on Champions Day. Any solutions to tweak it a bit better? There's advantages of it. Like some of these days, like Caulfield Cup, Everest Day, it's the most incredible day racing. Every 20 minutes is just an elite race. But you've been pretty animated about it. We never really spoke about it. Any ideas what they could do better?
I just think, well, they just need to work together, which Aaron Morrison and PVL seem like they are working together. I think at the end of the day, give punters or give racing fans as well what they want, and what they want are the best horses racing against each other. I'm not saying from September through to November, obviously, but I think there needs to be a period, whether it be 1 week over that Flemington Carnival or 2 weeks, where Melbourne gets their chance to shine with, you know, that's their grand final of 1 to 2 weeks. And then conversely, with the championships in Sydney, in autumn, they get their grand final as well. So I think that's what punters want. I think it's great for turnover. I think it's great for racing when, you know, it's a bit like Super League and NRL when there was two comps sort of thing, and we weren't seeing the best against the best. That's what we want. We want the best jockeys riding at the same track. We want the best horses at the same track, but not in September, August, September. It's great seeing those two sort of divisions, New South Wales and Victoria, and then they come together for grand final day. And that's, we're seeing that in some of the races on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's what excites me.
So that, 'cause the championships in autumn do get their own breath, their own air. So now the argument be is that PVL could just pull back a little bit from the end of the carnival, sort of this time now, like even the Five Diamonds, you know, maybe get, you know, I don't know,
yeah,
get rid
well
of it or something. Just leave it so there's maybe 1 or 2 weeks where, because I think New South Wales get 2 weeks during the autumn, which is completely to their own.
Yep.
And then maybe they could just pull back a little bit in New South Wales. And that's not to say, like, the resurgence of the New South Wales Spring Carnival has been brilliant for racing.
Absolutely.
You can't, like, it engages punters, it gets them in.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's a mistake, but I just think it's been, you know, both sides have been going pretty hard for a long time. If we just both cede a little bit of ground, I reckon we'll fall on a really good spot.
I'm sure they'll come to agreement, and for the betterment of racing, and they'll work it out. Two smart men in charge.
Very good. All right, we're just about at the end, and we did make a vlog of the Cox Plate trip. We're also going to make one of our Derby weekend trip. There's the thumbnail for it. Go and check it out. Uncle Mal did all the editing, did a great job. It is on YouTube now. What about you asking where you watch it? Like, how do you not know it's on YouTube?
It's been a long week.
Okay. When that message came through, sent a message saying, where do I watch the vlog? I was like, YouTube, mate.
Yeah, Mal put it together very well.
He did. So go and watch that. And what I'm going to finish you off this week with is, there's not many people out there who can hold a Melbourne Cup after they've won it and sing as well as Robbie Dole, and maybe as good as Ronan Keating, is one of the biggest stars in the world. I saw this little clip and thought, wow, how good's life when you've just won a Melbourne Cup. You're on stage holding your own with Ronan Keating. Here it is to finish you off. Up the Den. Enjoy Champions Day. Thank you.
You say nothing.